Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Lead me into truth. If I can draw your attention to that passage in John chapter 8 and verse 7, it says, when they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. One of the things that I love about the Lord and I fear about the Lord and walking in a relationship with God, for any of us who's walking in a relationship with God, we understand that we are walking in a relationship that's based on several things. And I think I've said this before, but I don't know if I really said it kind of in a formal, kind of really teaching it kind of way. But let me just say something to you, and I'll throw it on the screens, and it's not even really my point tonight, but just to get right into teaching, it's an appetizer. It's not the main point tonight, but I honestly believe that my relationship with God, your relationship with God, is founded on three legs. My relationship is three legs. I think I've said it kind of off the cuff, but I really want to kind of say it officially, and if you're taking notes, put it in your notes. My relationship with God has three legs. There's three legs that my relationship with God is built on, and if you take away one of the legs, the relationship is not as strong. It's not as solid. The foundation is not as strong, and I think that we have to be careful and conscious as the people of God to make sure that the change in the culture and the changes in the thought process doesn't make us take away aspects of God's character and who he really is so that we can really walk in a relationship with him. My relationship with God, your relationship with God is based on these three legs. The first leg, I've said it before, but I'll say it again in an official way. The first leg of my relationship with God is fear. Fear. It's on the screens. Fear. Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm not nervous, but I'm concerned with a church world that talks so much about grace that we lose the idea of the fact that God scares me a bit. There's a part of some stuff that I do because he's watching. I need a win. There's a part of some stuff that I do because you could make an argument that the Old Testament really does establish the fear of God and the God of the Old Testament. While the children of Israel are eating quail, they're choking on quail. And so there's an aspect that there's a significant part of the Word of God that established that God is not anybody to be trifled with or played with. God is sovereign and God's word will be established. And so there is a solid part of my relationship with God that is based on the fear of the Lord. And I know we've almost gotten away from it, but there was a lot of us in here. You went to the altar because you scared you're going to go to hell. I need a witness. They told you you're going to bust head wide. And so there were songs that were written. Tomorrow, better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow very well might be too late. And there were tracks out there, these chick tracks. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. And they gave them to you, and everybody going to hell. And it's just, they established a significant aspect of the fear of the Lord. Part of the reason why I tithe is because I got to get God's money out of my money before it messes everything up. Okay, all right. So there's the fear of the Lord. That's a part of that relationship with God. That's an important leg. Then Jesus comes and says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can make an argument that although that's a quote from the Old Testament, no one in the Old Testament really talks that much about loving God. Most of them are talking about, since we know what it means to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. So then there is the love of God. Jesus talks about loving God and building a love relationship and not being a child of Abraham, but being a child of God. What great love the Father's lavished on us that we should be called his children. Abba, Father, Daddy, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To create this connection, Jesus came to bridge the disconnect between us and God. And so there's this love aspect. That's an important part of your relationship with God. And then the third leg is you need him. Holy Spirit comes and says, I got gifts. and I can make a way, and I can open doors, and you gonna need me, and I'm gonna do stuff you can't do, and I'm gonna give you power you won't have, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens. And so then there's a part of me that's like, all right, Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Lord, I've got this fear of the Lord. I've got this love for God. I've got this need for God. And if you take any one of those three legs away, in my estimation, my relationship with God is not as solid if I'm only thinking about what I need and not aware of the fact that I should also love him. I was praying that tonight, that I don't want to be so much in love with the stuff that I'm not in love with him. My wife is in Africa right now, and so she's been there for what seems like forever. And she called me today, and she was like, do you miss me? And I'm like, of course I miss you. And she, what do you miss? And it's a loaded question, because there's all kinds of stuff that I miss God. But when she asked that question, I need to say the right thing. So when she get back here, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I miss. I miss her, but I miss what she do. Good God. So my point is that I don't want to be so much into what God does that I'm not loving him. At the same time, I don't want to be so much about my needs that I get away from the fact that God has a standard that must be maintained, that I've got to walk in a certain way. Okay, you get the point. The reason why I said all that, let me get back to my main point. The reason why I said all that is because there's an aspect of God and a part of the aspect of God that I love about the Lord. I also fear this about the Lord. In my relationship with him, both are going on. And the thing I love about God and I'm afraid about with God is, and I'll throw it on the screens, is that God knows the truth. God knows the truth. Now, I love the fact that he knows the truth. At the same time, I can't lie to him. I can't fake him out. He knows my thoughts are far off. He knows what I'm about to say before I say it. He knows what I was thinking but was too saved to say. Lord, he knows what I wanted to do, but I was too scared to do it. He actually knows the truth. And in a world looking for truth, truth is even more valuable. In a world and in a day and a time in which truth is so rare, is there almost anything more valuable than truth? What is actually the truth? I love the fact that God knows the truth. God knows what's really going on, although at the same time, I fear that about him, but I do love the fact that God does know the truth, and we live in a world and in a day in which truth is rare. We are almost more moved by opinion than we are by truth. Even right now, as we think about the current issue that's going on, this whole impeachment stuff now, the inquiry that's being done, it all depends on who you ask. Read CNN, Trump is in trouble. Read Fox News, this is all just a big strategy. I remember a time, and I know I'm old, but I remember a time when the people that gave you the news gave it to you in a non-biased form because they were trying to give you truth. That the media was kind of, if the government was corrupted, you could go to the media, because the media was kind of the last defense of what is right and true. But we live in a world now in which we don't know if that's true or if we are listening to bias. Because there's just always a perspective in which I'm thinking, is that true, or are they saying that to me because of an agenda? I was reading an article today that basically said that water is not the most hydrating liquid for you to drink. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's something else to drink that's going to hydrate me even better than water. What is it? And when I went there and they said it was milk, I thought, now, the devil, these milk farmers. What I'm saying is, oh yeah, who said that? Who told you that that was true? That we are living in a time in which truth is hard to come by. Vapor was supposed to be more safer than, at first when the vapor stuff came out, it was like, yeah, because this is better now. Finding truth is a challenge, particularly today when popularity all of a sudden has become so important. Causes us to ask an important question, and that is, does popularity reinforce competency? Does popularity reinforce competency? Just because somebody's popular, does that mean that they're competent? I don't want to get too deep, but it's a question that's being asked now. It's a question that's being asked even about our system, and especially in a world of the day in which people got followers and folk, there are folk who have millions of followers just simply because they took pictures of their body and put it on Instagram. That if having 2 million followers is all that it's about, that doesn't necessarily make you competent. I go to the doctor. I don't want them to say to me, oh, my God, this is the most popular surgeon that we have in this hospital. Everybody just likes him. We almost don't know why. I don't want the most popular surgeon. I want the one who did the best. He don't got to be nice to me as long as he got the best grades. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I don't want him to have gone to some medical school where it was really easy to get in. No. I want it to be hard because just because you're popular doesn't mean you're smart. Doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. That I understand as powerful. We have to be careful. We're almost in a world in a time in which just because somebody's popular, we think that they are now competent to lead. So my point in all of that is to say that in this story, when I look at this particular story, I'm wasting up my time, but when I look at this particular story and they bring this woman caught in the act of adultery, there are several questions that I ask of the text, and I want to throw some of those questions your way and then kind of look at the knowledge that God knows the truth. Questions of the story. First one was, how was she caught, quote unquote? How was she caught in adultery? Who exactly caught her? Who caught her? She's caught in the act of adultery. How exactly did she get caught? Who caught her? And where's the guy? She wasn't having adultery by herself. She wasn't having adultery with a table. There was somebody there that was caught in the adultery with her. And so what is the agenda behind bringing her to Jesus at this point? And particularly, it's my third question, what is the agenda of the leadership? We already know that they're bringing her to Jesus because they want to trap him in some way between the law of Moses and the fear of the Lord and the love that he is proposing that everyone have for God. They're trying to back him up against the law. They're not necessarily bringing her there for justice. They're bringing her there as a trap for Jesus. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, knows stuff that other people don't know. So when he says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, I think he said that knowing who's sinning. He's sitting there writing on the ground. We have no idea what he's writing on the ground, but I just know that if Jesus was in here, shoot, I'm halfway scared if somebody too prophetic walks around. But if Jesus was to come in here and to start talking about who done what, every one of us in here got to drop every rock out our pocket because there is not a one of us in here that is not needing the mercy of God. Good God, help us, Holy Ghost. That I realize that, well, the Lord knows the truth. And folks started to leave, especially the older ones first, because anybody old, no, they need mercy. Good God, help us. Anybody with gray they're dying knows that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, I need a witness. Anybody in here that's been on the planet for longer than a minute needs the mercy of God. They were the first ones to leave. I feel like because the Lord is looking at them and there's something about the knowledge of God that can shake you up. What is the truth? What is the truth? I said 2 weeks ago, as I was kind of really talking about the Lord's Prayer, and I said that the greatest, and I'll say it again, it's on the screens, that the greatest miracle in my life is his leadership. As all the miracles I'm asking him for, the greatest miracle is for him to lead me and guide me and order my steps and lead me into truth. Lord, speak to me. Lord, talk to me. Tell me what's really going on. Give me a real glimpse as to where I need to go and what I need to be about. Because, God, I know you know the truth. I know you know what's really best for me. And I need him to lead me away from the lies, away from the biases, and lead me into the truth, not just of who he is, but who I am and what he's saying to me. Lord, lead me into truth. Lead me into truth. Lead me into truth. Lord, speak to me and tell me what's really going on. And so when I look at Psalm 23, and I started this a couple of weeks ago, and the last week I was under the weather. When I started this a couple of weeks ago, I just started talking when I looked at Psalm 23, and I just started talking about the benefits of the Lord as my shepherd. And when I looked at Psalm 23, I see 10 benefits of the Lord being my shepherd. And I give you the first five just by way of review in case you're brand new and you're taking notes. But I said the first benefit of the Lord being my shepherd, the fact that when God is more than just a power source, he's a path source. When I'm saying, Lord, order my steps and lead me and guide me. And Lord, I want a relationship with you. I don't just want you to be power for a moment, but I want a relationship with you. And God, lead me and guide me and lead me into truth, especially in a day, in a world, in a time searching for truth. Lord, lead me into truth and the benefits of the Lord being my shepherd. And I gave you five a couple of weeks ago. Let me give them to you by way of review. Y'all still with me tonight? Let me give them to you by way of review. And they're there in the passage, and you probably can see it already, but let me just highlight them for you. I said the first benefit of the Lord being my shepherd, number one, is provision. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, my needs are met. The Lord is my shepherd, he will provide. Lord is my shepherd, I'm looking for a miracle of provision. But more than just I'm looking for a miracle of provision, the Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, there are some things that are not as important as my relationship with him that I've had and I have had and not had. And I've found out I can do all things as long as Christ is with me. He's my strength. I'd rather have him with less than not have him with more. So stuff is nice, but stuff isn't so important to me that I would trade stuff for him. That the relationship I have with him meets a need that even satisfies lack. That even when I didn't have as much, having him made having less okay. So number one, my needs are met, provision. Number two, I said the second benefit of him being my shepherd is compulsion. He leads me, he compels me, he makes me lie down in green pastures. There's some stuff that he just makes me do. There's some things that he has led me to do, some things that he has made me to do. He makes me do stuff. He makes me forgive people. He makes me do things I would not do without him. It's just it's a part of my relationship with him. His some stuff he ain't asking me if I feel like doing it. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That was the second benefit of the Lord being my shepherd. Third benefit I said of him being my shepherd is he directs me. Direction. He leads me beside still waters. That I'm following his direction. I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm following the leading of God. Trying to sense where he's leading me. I'm asking him to order my steps. I'm saying, Lord, lead me into truth. Direction is a benefit that I receive as a result of a relationship with him, covenant with him. Not just renting God every now and then when I need a touch from him, but actually walking in relationship with him. Direction. He guides me. He directs me. He leads me. Number four, he restores my soul. So restoration is a benefit of this relationship with the shepherd. Restoration means that he resets my soul to the original state that it was in. And my soul is the thinking part of me and the emotional part of me and the part of me that hurts, the part of me that gets wounded, the part of me that gets jacked up when I'm betrayed, the part of me that gets hurt when something bad happens to me, the part of me that no one can touch but him. The Lord says that I'll restore your soul, meaning I'll reset your soul to the place it was before you were violated, before you got hurt, before you were betrayed, before you got lied on, before that a part of my relationship with him is this soul restoration, and I have absolutely an expectation for God to restore my soul. I feel that in the anointing tonight. I'm saying, Lord, restore my soul. Lord, give me back the heart I had before they hurt me. Lord, give me back the heart I had before I lost everything. Lord, give me back the heart I had before I was betrayed. Lord, don't let their attack on me mess me up forever. Lord, restore my soul. Lord, reset me in my inner self, not just my spirit, but my mind is restored. Restore my soul. That's the fourth thing. Number five, I'm supposed to be reviewing. Number five, fifth benefit is illumination, we said. Illumination, that he is my light. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He is my light. He's my light in a dark place. I have an inner light, and as a result of that, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of ambiguity. I'm not afraid of something that I can't necessarily dictate or predict. You can get me in a situation in which I don't know how it's going to turn around, but I'm just resting and trusting because even in the dark place, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, evil is not something that I fear. Just because I don't know why doesn't mean God can't get glory. Just because I don't know how doesn't mean I won't walk down that dark alley. I'll look down through that dark valley and I'll go through it if it's the quickest way to get to where the Lord is leading me. And I'll walk through it because I'm not really afraid of evil because he's with me. This light that he has given me is actually something that makes me all right about the dark. Let me give you the last five in the last few minutes I have remaining. Okay, that was review. Number six, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, fear no evil, thy rod and thy staff that cover me. And so number six, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The sixth one to me is the best one, and the sixth one is vindication. Vindication, that it's not just getting rid of my enemies, it's making my enemies watch me eat. It's not just getting rid of my enemies. It's one thing for your enemies to be gone. It's something else for your enemies to have to come and say, well, I guess you knew what you was talking about. I guess this business really did work. I guess you really were right about that. I don't know if you've ever had that, but that is a sweet thing to eat, buddy. That is not just about getting all of my enemies out of here. Sometimes we are so quick to want our haters to leave that we don't understand that there is something really sweet, and that is your enemies and your haters watching God bless you. that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And as a matter of fact, if there's a lot of enemies around, I heard this preacher, this friend preacher I have that I was listening to, and he said that if folk are hating on you and folk are mad at you and there's a whole bunch of enemies around you, you better get ready because you're about to eat. Oh, hallelujah. I can't even say it as good as him. But he would say, oh, a table must be being prepared. And sometimes we are so moved by naysayers that we don't realize that the Lord is trying to give us something sweet, and that's vindication. Anybody ever been vindicated? Anybody ever, folk talk junk about you, and then you got to walk through and be like, how you like me now? Look at what the Lord has done. You didn't know what you was talking about. That vindication is a benefit of me walking with the shepherd. Number 7, he anoints my head with oil. So there's an anointing that is a benefit of walking with the shepherd. As if I spend enough time with him, he gonna pour some oil on me. If I spend enough time around him, some oil is going to get on me. And the anointing of God is the power of God. And I'm believing that God has anointed me. If the Lord has anointed me, then you can't stop what God has anointed me to do. If the Lord has anointed me to do this job, even if somebody's against you doing it, if you recognize and acknowledge that the Lord has anointed you to be a counselor, the Lord has anointed you to be a teacher, the Lord has anointed you, he has given you power from on high to be an accountant, then it doesn't matter if anybody's against you. And if someone stands against you, you begin to say, "Woo! We must be getting ready to do something really powerful." I was talking to my wife, you know, there in Africa, and she was telling me how, for whatever reason, getting to Kenya this year, it was just a challenge. Any of you that have family or loved ones that are there, it was like the group got split up, and then it was like the group went to the wrong terminal and missed their flight, and so half the group was there the day they were supposed to get there, and then the other half of the group, and my wife's been going for 7 years, her bags got lost, all of this stuff, and she's talking to me about it, she's not even talking about it in a negative way. She's just saying, "I can't wait to see what this, something is about to happen at this thing. We must be getting ready to really do something powerful, because I know we're anointed to do the work. So if there's opposition, it means that the enemy is trying to stop me from doing something really great, because I know I'm anointed to do this, that if I'm close enough to him, he's going to anoint me." And the anointing can be messy. See, back then when they anointed people, they didn't anoint people like we anoint people. We put a nice little greasy cross on your forehead. But back then when they anointed people, they dumped oil on people and it ran down and it got on stuff. I want an anointing on me that might make you slip. God, I want anointing on me that I can't help but get on all over everybody. And if you get around me, some of this all gonna rub off on you, because it's just a part of me walking in a relationship with him. I can't be in a relationship with him and not get anointed. I can't be in a relationship with him and not get some overflow. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. I said, my cup overflows. I rebuke just enough. My cup overflows. I'm looking for the overflow. I'm looking for what I don't have room for. I speak that in this room tonight. I speak it over everyone that's watching. What I don't have room for. I'm not looking for enough. I'm looking for abundance. I'm looking for extra. I'm looking for greater. I'm looking for something that's going to give my next generation a head start. That I'm looking for overflow, that my cup overflows. Abundance is proof of the shepherd. That the shepherd don't lead me to a little patch of grass. The Lord, the shepherd leads me someplace where I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know where to begin eating all of this. Because overflow is a benefit of connection to the shepherd. Number 9, I'm going to get done. Number 9 is insurance. Insurance, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That what is behind me is goodness. What is behind me is mercy. That I know that I'm not perfect. Thought I'd get an amen on that one from all the imperfect people in here. Even if my intentions are perfect, my actions are not perfect. Even if I'm trying, I still may. It's not my intention to offend anyone when I preach the gospel. I'm not afraid to offend you because sometimes the gospel's offensive. But my point is that I'm still human, but I'm so glad that mercy and goodness is just following behind me, just covering up as I take my steps. I just have an insurance policy called His mercy and His love and goodness will follow me all the days of my life. And number 10, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Number 10 is permanence. I ain't going nowhere. I'm here to stay. Walking in a relationship with God, I'm here to stay. Having my money, I'm here to stay. Having my property, I'm here to stay. The devil is a lie. Walking in this abundance, I'm here to stay. I'm not getting it for a second then to lose it. That I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Not height, not depth, not any other thing or creature, that I am convinced that neither death nor life, no angels, no principalities, no powers, no things present, no things about to come, not any height, not any depth, not any other thing or creature shall ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall separate me from His love. Every now and then, the enemy will attack you with a fear that you're going to lose what you got. But as long as I'm walking with the shepherd, I'm going to keep what I have. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep this marriage. I'm going to keep this property. I'm going to keep this home. I'm going to keep this ministry. Oh, I need a witness. As long as I walk with the shepherd, if I'm walking with the shepherd, then forever is something that I can talk about, that His goodness and His mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That I'm not going anywhere. Because I'm walking with the shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. And that He's leading me and guiding me into truth. As a result of me walking in relationship with Him, as a result of me being in covenant with Him, there's a benefit that I have from walking in covenant with Him. We can't ever give up on the covenant of walking with God. We can't ever give up on what it means to be saved and walking with Him, member, connected and committed, that we cannot allow our current culture of borrowing and Ubering to get us to a place in which we don't go on all in and actually cut covenant with Him and actually walk in relationship with Him. There's a benefit from relationship with Him. Can I get a witness in the building? There's a benefit from relationship with Him. Anybody walk with Him for a while? I've been walking with Him for a while, and the longer I walk with Him, the sweeter it gets. Sweeter as the day goes by, that there is a benefit to the commitment. Not in and out, in and out. There's a benefit to the commitment with Him. My trust is that He's going to lead me into truth. Put your hands together if you heard a word tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jump on your feet. Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Lord, thank You tonight. Thank You, Lord God, for truth in the innermost place. Thank You, Lord God, in a world, in a day, in a time of confusion, in a time in which we almost don't know who to believe. We almost don't know who to. Thank You, God, that as a result of being Your children, as a result of being in the kingdom, Lord, we can seek Your face. We can come together in the middle of the week. Lord, we can tune in and we can pray and we can fast and we can talk to You. We can get out of the flesh, even though we're aware of it. We can be in the world, but not of the world. And as a result of that, God, You will lead us and guide us into truth. Order our steps. be our shepherd. Lord, these benefits are to people who have decided that the Lord is our shepherd. Lord, you are our leader. With my God as my leader, I'll get home someday. Thank you, God, that if you're my leader, not just my Savior, but my leader, lead us and guide us. Give us direction. Give us clarity. Give us counsel. Give us wisdom. Give us utterance in the Holy Spirit. Give us dreams and visions. Give us confirmations. God, I pray that our relationship with you will turn into wisdom. It is because of Christ Jesus that it is because of you that we are even in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. God, be wisdom for us. And help us to see, because it's a dark world and a dark time. But God, we thank you that you can lead us into truth. Have your way in us. Dismiss us from this place. Cover us with your blood. Thank you for the visitors that are with us. Thank you, Lord, for this group that came out tonight in the middle of the week. I pray, God, that they would receive a great return on the investment of this time. God, I pray that you would multiply property, multiply blessing, multiply faith, simply as a result of the investment of our time in your presence. For everyone that's watching, God, make a way for us. We give you praise. And as we always pray, Lord God, bless your people and strengthen your people and smile on us. Lead us and guide us, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all stand together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you. See you Sunday.